Dolly recently passed away. She was the world's first cloned sheep. Just a few years ago, her birth made headlines around the world. Today, animal cloning is a matter of business. Take, for example, Infigen, a biotech company that's pioneering what some people call animal farming. That's farming spelled with a PH. CEO Walter Simpson hopes that one day soon, the genetically altered pigs and cows at Infigen will be helping to cure diseases like cancer and Parkinson's. So far, Infigen's cloned between 1 and 200 animals, more than any other lab in the world. Simpson calls cloning, or nuclear transfer, the world's worst video game. He told Steve Paulson what you'd see if you were watching a scientist at Infigen clone a cow.
If you were to see it happen, you would be seeing a room probably not too dissimilar to this studio with slightly dimmed lighting. And a scientist will take an egg from a cow. In our case, we use mostly cows. And the egg is placed in a dish. And a chemical is added to allow one to see the DNA under black light. And then a small pipette or small suction device, microscopically small, takes that DNA out without disturbing the rest of the material of the egg to whatever degree possible. And then a cell, like a skin cell from another animal, is actually implanted inside that egg. And by scale, if you were to look under the microscope, the egg might look like the size of a king-size bed, and the skin cell might look like the size of a person crawling into it. And when it's shocked with a small electrical shock and in the presence of the right chemicals and growth factors, it will grow up to become a live animal.
Now, I read that a high school intern at your company actually was one of the people who cloned a cow.
I wasn't there then. I believe we had some technicians and some technicians in training who were working with these microscopes. Sitting in front of one of these microscopes, it's a little bit like the control panel of an F-16. There are lots of dials, and it takes a certain amount of proficiency. And apparently, we did have a young lady who was learning how to manipulate the eggs and was learning the materials. And they track the material as it goes through and to see if we get live-born animals. The betting was that one of the eggs that she, in fact, implanted turned into a live-born animal. By the way, I don't like the word cloning. Cloning to me is the movie Multiplicity and Revenge of the Clones and Mini-Me, and when it first happened, I think it was probably a tongue-in-cheek term by a couple of scientists who thought that it would never happen, that term would never be used in common currency. In fact, it's probably more science fiction to use the word cloning than the more technical term of nuclear transfer.
If I were to come into your lab, would this look a little like watching a video game, you know, sort of watching the technicians manipulate the cells with, is it a kind of a joystick that you use?
Actually, it is. It is. There are joysticks and knobs to twist, and under the microscope, the technician is looking at the egg and might say, I don't want to implant the egg here, I'll flip it. And they can actually take this, you know, release a little pressure, move it around, and this is in three-dimensional space. This is in a dish that's filled with liquid. So there is a kind of an aspect of tactile dexterity, though, all about it.
How long does this whole process take? Once this nuclear transfer has been made, this new egg has been started, how long before this turns into an animal?
Well, then you're going to a normal gestation period. In the cows, it's 9 months. And we're now waiting for a live-born animal. We're waiting for the baby to be born.
So you're basically saying after this initial process, after you've, in a sense, created life, it's just an animal that just grows up.
Yeah. We're very careful. At least I'm very careful about the idea of creating life. This comes from the sense of humility. The sensation that happened when Dolly was born was when people started to use that kind of hyperbole.
But aren't you doing that?
I don't know. I certainly wouldn't claim it.
Because there's a new life there because of what your scientists have done that wouldn't exist otherwise.
Perhaps. You know, adding genetic material to an egg and asking the egg to grow up is a process that is simply saying there's going to be life anyway, and perhaps we want it to have this kind of genetic material. When I think of creating life, I think of something de novo, something starting from scratch. And here we're perhaps injecting ourselves into the process, but I don't think of it as creating it.
Now, as I understand it, it's still this whole process of nuclear transfer, or in layman's terms, cloning, is still hard to do, that actually the success rate is considerably below 50%.
It depends on the species, and it depends on the cells that start it. In pig, we've actually had a great deal of success, and in some of our cell lines, we get 100%. Now, in those cases where we don't have success, generally what happens is that the animal spontaneously aborts. That is, that we think we've got a viable pregnancy, and then there's, at some phase, and it's usually by day 60, and there seems to be some sort of signaling process that if an embryo isn't doing well, it signals to the mother, to the host, the surrogate mother, that something's not going well, and a very complex series of events takes place that results in the embryo being rejected. That's probably a protective mechanism to prevent the population from having unwanted mutants.
Now, you are a business. I mean, you are a commercial operation. You're not just a university lab doing research on this. I would think, given all the uncertainties, given the difficulties of creating these animals, that it'd be hard to make any money from doing this.
In fact, it's an extremely risky business, and we're a vanishingly small company. But the proposition is to use this process in a way that perhaps would help others. And the two main propositions that we think are technically feasible now are, one, to have, through nuclear transfer, induce a cow to accept the DNA that encodes for another protein in its milk. So we produce a dairy cow, in our experience, perfectly normal dairy cow, with the exception that instead of making one of the milk proteins at that precise spot, it's making a protein that could be a life-saving drug.
Who might you help in this whole process?
Well, actually, there's a clinical trial in the Netherlands and in Belgium right now that was started under the aegis of a former partner of ours, a Netherlands company by the name of Pharming. And the drug they're producing is called alpha-glucosidase. Alpha-glucosidase is an enzyme, and some people are born without this enzyme. If you are born without this enzyme, you are not likely to thrive, and most children born without the enzyme die by their first birthday. And the population in Europe might be 20,000 or 25,000, and we might have a similar population in this country. Hmm. But the point is that a factory to make an enzyme can cost $100 or $200 or $300 million and probably take many years, 3, 4, 5 years, to just get approved through a regulatory process.
Now, I've heard that you also raise pigs as part of this process. And is it for the use of organ transplants?
Organ transplants or other cell transplants, yes. Today, in this country, you can look on the web and see an updated list of the number of people who are waiting for organ transplants. The actual waiting list of very, very sick individuals who are waiting for organs or tissues or cells that would solve the chronic disease that is threatening their life. It's about 85,000 people today. So about 15 or 20 people are dying a day while still on this list in a technology that's very well understood, but there just aren't enough organs or tissues to make them well.
But you're suggesting then that you can actually take organs or tissues from a pig, or at least a special pig, an engineered pig, and put those into human beings?
That is the proposition. It has not been shown to be the truth yet. The first step was for the people who are interested in this, and there's a company called Emerge Biotherapeutics in the Boston area. Emerge came to us and said, we would like to have a pig whose organs don't express a gene that encodes for a certain carbohydrate. That carbohydrate, or that what they call an epitope, that epitope is immediately toxic to humans, and the human immune system attacks it and disables the organ within seconds. The proposition is that an organ from a pig, where the pig does not have the genes encoding for that epitope, would be more easily accepted by the human system and not so radically rejected. But at least for those people who are on this list, and they're desperately ill people, it could be a bridge to a human organ. It could be a longer-term solution. It could be a way to end Parkinson's disease or liver disease or supplement the heart or lungs. And so it could make the organs more generally available than they are now.
Now, there are obviously lots of ethical questions that come up when you talk about this kind of technology. One of the questions is whether it's okay for scientists to raise these animals. And in some cases, then you're talking about killing the animals so certain tissues or organs can be harvested for human use. I mean, for obvious medical uses. But does that bother you at all?
We don't want to cause harm where we can avoid it. When it comes to the prospect of, would you help us to make organs more readily accessible to patients who would otherwise die, I think we have a very defensible position if we look in the eyes of the family of the people who are so very diseased and say, we'll see what we can do to help. But when weighing that, the sacrifice of a pig or the discomfort of the pig or what have you, versus the human life, I have to be frank that we look to the human life, at least I do.
Walter Simpson is the CEO of Infigen. His company has produced the world's largest collection of cloned cows and pigs, more than 165 animals. He spoke with Steve Paulson.